Blog Talk Radio.
Waiting to really see what God will do.
For everyone who's been following Coach B over the last 5 years, you know there was a time where I had guests often on my show, and then probably about 2 years in, it was sparingly that I would bring guests onto the show. I believe that God had gave a word to someone that's important to me that said, hey, you know, maybe you should not have as many guests and you should just let God use you to bring forth the word every Thursday. And so up to this point, that's what I've been doing. Like I said, it's been sparingly that I bring a guest. But tonight, I do have a special guest that's going to be delivering the word on tonight. And I have to say that I've been kind of excited and nervous and all in one because, again, I honor the platform that God has given me with Processing the Pain. And so I'm just really excited. Like I said, again, nervous. And anyone that knows, when you have a baby that you've given birth to, you protect it. You nurture it. You feed it. You do all the things you need to do to care for your child. You know, just as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. You know, if you're a mother, even a father, you know, when you think about your child after his birth, and you know that you go through the 9 months of labor, and then once his birth, you still got to make sure it's clean, change the diapers, you got to get up and do the midnight feedings, and all these different things you have to do to continue to take care of that baby until they're 18. And then some of these babies, even once they turn 18, you still are caring for them, not in the same capacity, but you're still nurturing. You're still making sure they're okay. You're still wondering and maybe even worrying about them when they go away to college. So I'm sharing that because that's the way I am, processing the pain of my baby. But again, I'm honored to have the man of God that's going to be bringing the message on today. I'm excited because I've been knowing him probably about close to 15 years. And so I've heard him in ministry. We've communicated with things regarding the word of God. And we were having a conversation, and we were talking about fathers and father figures, because we know that Father's Day is coming up, and I'm honoring fathers and father figures, and in some kind of way the conversation turned into, you know, we were talking about women who may have not had either they don't know their fathers, or maybe they didn't have a positive relationship with their fathers. Women have a tendency to begin to look for their fathers in men that they begin to date. And we were talking about that. And I don't know how we got onto another conversation, but tonight I'm going to get clarity. I'm going to get clarity on how we got onto the umbilical cord. And so, again, I am excited for the word that's going to go forth. And I hope you all are excited, too. And what I would like to do before I introduce our special guest is I just want to just tell everybody, if you could just all just take a deep breath and just blow out slowly. And I'm going to bring forth a word of prayer. I want to create an atmosphere. I want God to know that he is welcome in this place on tonight. I want him to know that we are sitting with great anticipation for a mighty word of God with an anointing. We are sitting looking for miracles. We want the word to come through and just begin to transform, to change, to deliver those who need deliverance. Oh, I am so excited in the name of Jesus. Father God, Orabasha, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for this opportunity, Father, that we will be able to hear your word. No frills, no stuff, but just your uncompromisable word, Father God. We thank you that your word is life, that it's productive, and that it does what you send it out to do, and that it shall not return unto you void in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for this word that's going to go forth, Lord, this rhema word, Lord, that we will get a perception, that we will see what you are saying to us, Father, that our spirit, Father God, will come alive. We thank you, Father God, that the letter killeth, but it's your spirit that gives life. So we welcome you, Father, your spirit in this place on tonight. For we know where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty. We know, Father God, when your very presence is here, that the anointing is what breaks the yoke, Father God. We pray that this word will that's coming forth will break yokes on tonight, Father God. We pray that those who have been lackadaisical in their relationship with you, Father God, that that will change, Father God. Father God, we pray that for us who have spoken words, Father, that have planted seeds of negativity, seeds of curses, seeds of betrayal, Father God, we bind those seeds right now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we pray that those things will be changed on tonight, Father God. Lord, that this word will allow us to be able to pluck up the words that we've spoken, Father God, that have not been beneficial, the words that we've spoken that have not been productive, the words that we've spoken that have caused many of us to fail in life, the words that we've spoken that have defined our destinies, Father God, the words that we've spoken that have caused bad health, Father. We pray right now, Lord, that those could be reversed, that you can make straight our crooked path. So, Father God, we just thank you. Use the man of God as only you can, Father God, by your spirit, Lord, that he is a willing and submitted vessel unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others our special guest, Apostle Ron Brumbley. He is the founder and he is the overseer of, bear with me here, he is the founder and he is the overseer of Favor of God Empowerment Ministries. Apostle, are you in the house with us on tonight?
Yes, I am. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Well, I am glad that you are here. I'm excited about the word that's going to go forth. And I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to put the mic down so y'all know I can go. But I just want to introduce you. Thank you for coming. And thank you for being willing to share. And so if you can just starting off, without a lot of drugs, feel free, introduce yourself to the audience. And then take control. I'm stepping back.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. I am Apostle Ronald Brumby. I am the founder and overseer of Favor of God Empowerment Ministries out of Cincinnati, Ohio. It's an honor and a privilege to come before you on this evening. Thank God for this opportunity to bring forth this word that the Lord has imparted on me. I thank God for this avenue with Coach D. Thank you for the vision that God has given you and how you're operating in the vision of God. We thank God for you. I feel doubly honored that you normally don't allow people to speak on processing the pain. So I feel double honored to be able to bring forth this word of God on tonight. As we were talking last night on your Woman to Woman, and honestly, to be just truthful, as only I know how to be as transparent, it was not my intention to go where I went last night with that umbilical cord that was all the Holy Ghost, because that was not the flow. It was not part of the conversation, but God needed and wanted that to be said, so open mouth, out came words. So I that's where it came from. It came from the Holy Ghost. And it was a shock to me, to be honest, because I was, like I said, it was not Ronald's intention to go that way. But once the Spirit gets to moving, how many know that you lose yourself and allow the Spirit to speak when you truly operate under the anointing of God? So he had his way, and we're here today because he had his way. Amen. Now, Coach D, I know that when we spoke earlier, you were going to read a scripture. So I want you to read that particular scripture that you were going to read earlier that we discussed, and then I'm going to go into the word after you read that scripture.
Okay, let me get this up, and I'm going to be pulling this up in the King James Version. If you want to follow along, great. If not, but I'm going to open this up in with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen. Go ahead and read down.
Okay. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all you can, to stand. 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm sorry, everyone. And your feet shod up with preparation of the gospel of peace.
Amen. Keep going.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You want me to continue?
Yeah, go down to finish verse 17.
I'm going to keep going. Okay. Okay, so we're set. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your heart. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Amen. The reason why I had you read that whole thing is because it's actually the instructions, and then it closes with a prayer. And what we have to understand is when we're talking about this subject on tonight, the umbilical cord, and we're going to be cutting the ties that bind, we have to understand first and foremost that you cannot go into any type of warfare with any type of spirit without being properly dressed. Mm-hmm. One thing is for certain, that whenever you decide to take on a spiritual battle, and if you were ever in the military or if you ever watched a military type movie, you understand that before they go into battle, even before they leave for the war itself, they make sure they have everything that they're going to need in order to be well equipped for the battle that's at hand, for the war that's going on. A lot of times what happens is the reason why we are still connected to the umbilical cords is because we have not been properly trained on how to be properly dressed in order to fight these spiritual battles. So what is going on now is that we are losing battles, but we have yet not lost the war. One of the things that tends to happen is we don't put on the full armor of God as the scripture says. Secondly, we don't transform our mind as the scripture says in Romans chapter 12. So we constantly are always living under the words that was spoken to us by either family members, by friends, especially our parents. We have yet to cut the umbilical cord from our mothers, and therefore we are still operating and going through life existing instead of living. And what I mean by that is because that before you were born and came into the world, you were already at a disadvantage. And what I mean by that is that when you were inside of your mother's womb, as you were beginning to grow and as you were beginning to be nourished, your parents and friends and family, aunts and uncles and everybody, if you ever notice how you talk to a baby that's in the womb and you're speaking words to the baby, these words are being manifested and they're taking a life, and this child is hearing these words. And if they're not positive words, then when a mother gets pregnant by a father that she did not even want to be the baby's daddy, and she wished that she would lose the baby, or she wished that she could have an abortion, or she begins to speak negatively about the child, and the child is taking all of this in. And the reason why the child is taking all of this in is because the baby is not only attached to a natural umbilical cord, but now the baby is attached to the spiritual umbilical cord of the mother, because the mother is housing the baby in her temple. And what tends to happen is that when you go through these trimesters and you go through these different stages. I'm not a woman, so I can only go by what I've seen from having babies and being a father, and how the mother goes through different emotions and different things, spiritually speaking. The mindsets begin to change, especially when it's your first child. You going from being just a woman, or in some cases a young girl, and now you're becoming a mother. And you have to do things differently than from what you were used to doing. So we become bound by these invisible chains from the words that are spoken, that have been implanted and imparted into our life before we even take our first breath in the world. We're still breathing inside of the womb, and we're still growing, and all of these things are growing with us. And then you wonder why, in some cases, this is what happens. When people are running around now, let's kill this myth right now. Nobody is born gay. It is a choice that you make in life, but sometimes the choice is not even yours to make. What happened was is that because somebody wanted to have a boy, and because back in the day you couldn't tell the sex of a baby until way later on, you have been speaking a boy, a boy, a boy, a boy, and the things you're going to do with your son and this and this and that and the other, and then you end up having a daughter. And you now, because you know that you're having a daughter, you're upset about the fact that you're having a girl, because your expectation was and your hope was that you would have a son. And it works the same in the reverse. You speak about you wanted to have a daughter. You wanted to have a daughter, you wanted to have a son, but now you're having a girl. You wanted to have a girl, now you're having a boy. It works in the reverse. And so what tends to happen is, because we find out that we're not having what we wanted or what we desired, we still do not accept the baby. We have to grow to try to accept the child because we have been disappointed. Because in some cases, people begin to pray and say, oh, God, I want a son. Oh, God, I want a daughter. And when God does not give us what we wanted, then we're disappointed, and then we act out and we begin to speak negatively over the baby before the baby is ever born. So then this child comes into the world, and what happens naturally is once you have the baby and you come to term, or as long as you can carry the baby and have this child, then they go and then they cut the umbilical cord in the natural. What happens is the umbilical cord has been cut in the natural, so the baby can be free to breathe and be fed milk and all of that other stuff. But the words that have been spoken over this baby's life before they were ever born is still embedded in them. And so they grow up with these things over them. And the enemy knows what has been spoken, and he uses that against the child. And then we say that this child is so bad. This child is so unruly. This child is this and this child is that. And we're not realizing that it's not that they're unruly or bad. They were never set up to be successful because of the words of the parents and the words of the family and the words of friends or whatever the case may be. And the enemy takes those words and just keeps on going and going with them. And the reason why that is because of the simple fact of the matter is we never really go to God and acknowledge God, because in some cases, not in all, but in some cases, we had babies out of wedlock. Some cases, we were teenagers experiencing with sex and made a mistake and got pregnant and had a baby. We didn't even know how to become a parent. We didn't know how to be a father at 16 and 17. Some of us don't know how to be a father at 25 and 30. Some people don't know how to be a mother at 15, 16, 17, 25 or 30. But what tends to happen is we have to grow up rather quickly. And so we have to rush our own maturation process. And we don't realize that a lot of times we're speaking curses over our children and not even knowing it before they're ever born. So when they don't come out being like you want them to be like, it is more than likely because you have spoken something over that child, and that is the reaction and the response from what you have spoken. Understand this, when a child is cut from the umbilical cord and the child begins to grow from its infancy stages, we feed the baby milk, we talk to the baby, we nurture the babies, and they begin to grow and they begin to mature. And as they begin to mature, their minds begin to develop. And when their minds begin to develop, this is the early stages where we should be speaking life into our children. And at some point in time, we need to reverse some of the things that we said. Some people do not ever accept the fact that they didn't have the child that they wanted to have, and they take it out on the child for the rest of the child's years as a child, up until they're 18. Some parents even do it up way beyond that. They never accept the fact that they didn't get the girl they wanted. They didn't get the boy that they wanted. So when the child is growing up and they have all these invisible chains on them from what was spoken over their lives, they do not understand that it is causing them to become who they really were not supposed to be, because God had a different plan for that child, but you messed that up by the things that you said and the things that you have done. Now, I'm going to back this up with the scripture. Now, we all are familiar with Proverbs 18, verse 22. Everybody knows that. Everybody quotes that. But how many people know what Proverbs 18, 21 says? And I'm going to be reading this particular scripture from the NIV version of the scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit, which means that you have the ability to speak life, you have the ability to speak death, and whatever that you speak, is that is the fruit that you have generated from the words that you have said. So now, are you going to feed, or have you fed your child spiritual life and life that is fruitful, or have you been giving them rotten fruit? And some people have given their child so much rotten fruit over the years that their kids are internally and spiritually sick And some of them are sick unto the point unto death. The only thing that is keeping them alive is the grace and mercy that God has given, because they don't know no better. And God has given them an opportunity to grow up into adulthood, and hopefully that somebody will come along that will speak life unto the child, and that will shift and change the atmosphere of the child. I'll give you my own example because I'm transparent as they come. And Coach D knows me and knows that I'm transparent. I have a daughter that her mother, because I wanted to have a son, I had one daughter, this was my second child, and because I wanted to have a son, because my name was going to end with me, the mother kept lying to me and saying it was going to be a boy, it was going to be a boy. And so it's a boy, it's a boy, it's a boy, because I'm excited to have a boy, and then I have another daughter. Now, today, my daughter is lesbian, but she's the male in the lesbian relationship. Why is that? Because all through her life, that's what her mama said. Her mama created the lie, even after having my daughter, because I was not able to be there. She told me that it was a son. She told me the baby needed a blood transfusion and all this stuff. And because the relationship that we had, I didn't immediately go. And then she sends a picture to my grandmother of this baby girl. And so all of the stuff that had been said, all the lies that have been told, my daughter has been dealing with an identity crisis her whole entire life. My daughter was good at basketball. She wanted to play basketball. I go to the courts with her and we'll play basketball. She joined the team and she was good until she hurt herself. And this whole time when she told me that she was lesbian and then told me that, you know, I seen the way she was dressing on Facebook and other stuff, I began to pray that God would reverse the curse. I'm still holding on to the prayers that I prayed, but my daughter is at the age of 30 now where she has to make that choice for herself. But I do not love her any less because of the choice that she's continuously living in, but I understand that it is something far deeper than she truly understands because it is a spiritual battle. So what I decided to do was put on my whole armor of God and stop fighting against the carnal side of the thing and war with it on the spiritual side of the thing. So now my prayer for my daughter is that before she leaves this earth, that God delivers her from the spirits that were placed on her, even if she never prays for herself. I'm hoping that by a miracle, God will reverse the curses on her life and she becomes the woman that God created her to be from the beginning. But I'm not going to love her any less because that's what the choice she decided to make. I don't beat her over the head about her decisions. I just go into prayer. A lot of times because our kids turn out to be homosexual and we were not homosexual, never had a homosexual tendency, we tend to beat the kids over the head with the Bible. We tend to beat the kids and pull them in the church and try to make them change. We try to wash away who they are, and we got to understand that we cannot do it from the carnal mindset that we try to do it from, and we mask that by trying to say that we're being spiritual when in actuality all we are being is carnal. Because we won't accept the fact that our child decided to become gay. And so then we worry about what society is going to say. We worry about what other people and how other people will react to our children, or they'll look at us as being bad parents, or what did we do that change the way our children or how our children act and become. We have to understand that when we consider and call a child a bad child, a child that's going to, you ain't no good, you'll never be any good. You'll never be this, you'll never be that. And we put that, instill that in the child's head before we got delivered, because let's be honest, some of us, when we start having our children, we were not saved. And once we became saved, we did not go back and remember that we need to save our children from the negativity that we have been spewing over their life because we became converted. We forgot to understand that we got to go back and help our children become converted. We got to remove and get rid of the negative stereotypes that we put on our own children by the things that we have said. we got to also understand that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, and I'm going to read this from the NIV version of the scripture as well. The Bible says to us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. Unwholesome is anything that does not provide nourishment to the spirit. And when you're not speaking life into somebody's situation, you're putting poison into their ears and into their spirit. Now, understand, but only what is helpful. This is what we should be speaking. That which is helpful to the building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You cannot cut the ties that bind until you change the way you speak to people and the things that come out of your mouth. I find it kind of hard that I hear the way some Christians be talking and how they always are negative and never positive and claim to have the Holy Ghost. How can the Holy Ghost dwell inside of you and everything that comes out of your mouth is a negative connotation to something? Somebody need to go back and get a redipping, a refreshing. They need to have the oil poured over their head. Something has to take place to take away the negative energies that are causing them to feel this type of way. And when you have been raised and reared to feel that you are rejected, dejected, and nobody is ever going to like you, you're never going to amount to anything, you got to understand that you have tied the soul and made it to the point where they can't get free. That's why they're bound. And then we wonder why everything goes haywire. We wonder why you can come to church week after week, month after month, year after year, and nothing changes. And you cannot figure out why you're sitting in church, and if this is your situation, so be it, but it can be changed. But you're sitting in church week after week, month after month, year after year, and you're not getting anything out of the services. You don't even remember half the stuff that the preacher has preached about because it has no effect on your life. And the reason why it does not have an effect on your life is because you have not dealt with the deep-rooted issues that are within inside of you that need to be rebuked, need to be cast out so that you can operate and move freely in the things of God. The other thing that happens when you look at James chapter 1, verse 26, that's coming from the New Living Translation, because I like to do different translations of the word so that it can reach everybody. You got to understand that if you claim to be religious, or you claim to be spiritual, or you claim to know God, you claim to have the Holy Ghost, but you don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself. You ain't fooling everybody else. You're fooling yourself. You give yourself a false hope, a false sense of confidence. You basically are a liar in what you say. And the Bible says in the New Living Translation of it, it says, and your religion is worthless. Who wants to listen to you when you don't know how to control your mouth? You cannot control what you say. You don't care how you say what you say to people because you've grown. How many times have you, if we tell the truth, how many times have you made that statement? I'm grown. I say what I want to say. I do what I want to do. Not realizing that when you said that, you just told God that no matter what he say, you've grown enough to do what you want to do. You have just become disobedient about what came out of your mouth. And what you have to understand is the words that come out of your mouth will always live in your future. So you have to be careful what you say, when you say, how you say it, and who you say it to. And I know people have a hard time dealing with that because you feel, and the enemy has made us to feel that because we have become adults, that we can say what we want to say. Well, I ain't in my mama's house, so I can say what I want to say. I can do what I want to do. I can act like how I want to act. But no, wherever you go in this life, there is going to be rules and regulations that you have to follow. The reason why people cannot cut these ties that are binding them so much is because they will not take the time to humble themselves down and go through the deliverance processes that need to take place in order for God to reign inside of them. So they got a form of godliness because they attend church. They put on the suits and the nice dresses and the big hats and they put on their fancy shoes and they come in church and they jump and shout, they hoop and holler, and the pastor can preach real good and all of that. But a lot of times when you sit up in churches, there's no anointing flowing, so there's no yokes being broken. All you heard was a charismatic message that made you get emotionally excited, but you left out the same way you came in. Why? It's because the anointing was not there. And the reason why the anointing was not there is because the words that have come out of your mouth during the week that will not allow you to become free because you do not want to change the way you talk. So now you got a spiritual umbilical cord that is wrapped around your neck. How many know that when a baby is breached, and in a lot of cases the umbilical cord has tied around the baby's neck, and now they got to be extra careful not to kill the baby with the umbilical cord? That's what's happening to the church and to the body of Christ. And the reason why we are still tied and we're still bound is because the spiritual umbilical cords, by the words that we're saying, are actually choking us to death. Now, I'm going to tell you and tell you how that you can change the way that you talk to people, the way that you respond to people, that will give you an avenue and a way of escape. What we have to understand first and foremost is we have to change our language. And what I mean by that, we have to change the way we speak to people. The way we change how we speak to people, how we speak to our children, other family members, is by truly becoming converted. Look at Peter, for example. Peter was one of the first of the chosen of the disciples. Peter had a rough exterior. Peter was what most people call the thug disciple. He didn't take no mess from nobody. Peter said what he wanted to say, and Peter did basically what he wanted to do. And Jesus had told Peter, he said, I can't use you right now. I need for you to become converted. So Jesus prayed that once Peter became converted, then he can go out and strengthen thy brothers. A lot of times we need to go through a conversion from unholy to holy, from stop thinking in the natural and the carnal to start thinking spiritually. Why do you think the armor is set up the way it is? Why do you think you need to put on the whole armor of God? Why is it that Paul did not say, just put this on, put that on, maybe put this on? Sometimes you got to put that on. You ain't going to need that too often. Why didn't Paul say that? There's a reason why. And the main reason why Paul didn't say that is because all of the pieces of the armor work together to provide a protective shield to help you fight the enemy. A lot of times, truth of the matter is, we go into a war with the devil naked. We ain't got on no armor. The devil gets to us so bad, we even get flustered with trying to remember scripture. We can't even apply the word to the situation because we allow the enemy to just frustrate and frustrate us. We get so flustered. And then a lot of times we call on people to try to help pray us through some situations. And even if the person pray you through, you still will not be delivered from it because you have yet to cut the ties. You have yet to cut the umbilical cord. And yes, you can have a umbilical cord that's a spiritual umbilical cord that is of the devil, because demons are spirits. So we have to cut those ties. We got to go and look at what has caused us to be how we are, things that were said. I know sometimes in my own mind, there are things that play back from what people have said to me and what my grandmother used to say to me. And I couldn't understand for so long how my grandmother had prayed for me to go into ministry, but yet would tell me because I was just doing bad stuff, because I was the only boy, only male in the entire family on my mother's side, they let me get away with murder. So I grew up spoiled. I grew up thinking that I could just do what I want to do, say what I want to say, and I'm still going to get what I want. And in 90% of the cases, that's how it was growing up. So when I became a man and I began to have my own children and I began to have to buy diapers and shoes and clothes for them and couldn't buy the Nikes that I wanted for myself, I used to have attitudes. And I used to regret even having the key at that time because it was taken away from me until the Spirit got a hold of me one day and said, your children are a blessing. I didn't have to give them to you. There are some people that can never have a child, will never get to experience what motherhood and fatherhood is from having a natural child. But yet, while you was in sin, I adopted you and gave you an opportunity to have eternal life. How dare you act the way you act? How dare you sit up and act the way you act? Knowing God has given you grace and mercy and the ability to be able to make changes, to go back and correct the wrongs, and yet you're too prideful to humble yourself down and become different. So what takes place, like, we got to understand that we have to cut these umbilical cords from around our necks in order to be free. The Bible tells us in Matthew that we should cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. We're not casting our cares before the Lord. We're trying to hold on to him, and we steady choking ourselves out without even knowing it. A lot of times you got to understand, and we blame the enemy for a lot of stuff that the devil ain't even doing. Why he's not doing it is because we have never changed and converted over fully to God, so he don't have to mess with us. The devil never goes and attacks the people he already got. A lot of stuff that we go through is by our own doing. Satan ain't even thinking about us in that aspect. So we gotta cut Satan's umbilical cord off of our lives. We got to break these soul ties. And when I say soul ties, I'm not just talking about what most people talk about, like in sexual relations that we had in the past and divorces and marriages, those are included. But I'm talking about the soul ties that, of words that have been spoken that have taken root down in our soul that were necessarily not for us, but because somebody was not happy, they done spoke this stuff over our life. These things got to be broken and destroyed. You got to cut the umbilical cord so that you can be free to operate in the things of God. Some of you guys got ministries that have yet to be birthed because you have not cut the umbilical cord. Some of you all are in ministry now, but are not where God wants you to be. Why? Because you have not fully cut the umbilical cord. I'm telling you, when you cut the umbilical cord, you break the ties that bind and you become free. And the Bible said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Once God frees you from a thing, you don't have to go back to it unless you choose to. Never look back from where God has already freed you from and bought you from, because you're moving forward. You don't move backwards in God. You move forward. The only time you move backwards is when you're working for the devil, because the devil only remembers and knows your past. God said, I take the things of the past and remember them no more. So God is not concerned about your past. He's concerned about your future. And God wants you to get to a point that when you are in him, you will be free to be able to do what God called you to do. And the first place that you obtain freedom from is the freedom in your mind. You got to let everything go that was ever spoken negatively about you, because that's not who God called you to be. That's who somebody wanted you to be. But you are who God called you to be. You got to understand that in the Bible, when we go back to Genesis and we look at the life of Jacob, Jacob had to wrestle with the angels. And then when he got finished wrestling with the angel, he got a dislocated hip out of the deal. But he went to war. And once he won that battle, his name changed to Israel. God has a name that needs to be changed and is waiting to give you the changed name, but he cannot do that until you break the umbilical cord, until you cut that cord, until you sever all ties to the things that were said about you that does not matter anymore, because you're not what people say you are, but you are who God called you to be and who God says you are. Understand that principle on tonight, that you are who God called you to be and not who the enemy called you to be. So therefore, change your partner, change your dance partner, change who you listen to. Listen to the Spirit of God. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, ask God to give it to you, because it's freely given to those that ask and make the change. Repent. Repent from the negative thoughts that you had and turn them into positive thoughts. Repent from the negative situations and start walking into positive situations. Remember, you are who God says you are. You are not who your mama and daddy said you would become. Now, if your parents were the kind of parents that taught you and encouraged you all your life and told you you can be anything you want to be, to God be the glory for them, because they tried to instill positivity into you. And when people decide to come at you, and because you're doing things the right way, don't worry about what other people got to say. You continue on the path that God called you on. And I'm going to close with this particular scripture. It's found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And this scripture I'm going to read from the Amplified version of the Bible, because this is my favorite version because it breaks a lot of stuff down. This is what I want you to take with you as you begin to change and begin to ask God to break the yokes, the umbilical cords, and you become free, and these bounded ties become loosened. Just like Paul and Silas, they began to praise God, jump and shout, and the shackles was broken because of the earthquake. And everybody that even wasn't saved and were guilty of whatever they did were able to walk out of the prisons and get another opportunity. Now is the time that the Lord is breaking and sending an earthquake into your body so that the chains can be broken and you can walk out of the prisons of your mind and of your life as a free person. You don't no longer have to be looked at and chained in bondage. You can look at those handcuffs and those things that have held you back, and you can thank God and praise God that now you have been set free. From this point forward, prophesy to you that if you let go of the past and let God into your life fully, you will see the change immediately, and you'll begin to walk in the newness of who you are and not who people called and said you were supposed to be. My God. And when you read this scripture in Hebrews 6 and 19, it says, this hope, which means the confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul, which means it cannot slip, and it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil or of the heavenly temple, the most holy place, is which in which the very presence of God dwells. I'm going to close with that right there. You have a hope. Your soul needs to be anchored in God, and you can know and rest assured that when you enter into the veil, or behind the veil, as they say, you have entered into the place where God dwells. Now, we know that the veil, Jesus rent that veil, so the veils that I'm talking about is the ones that you placed over yourself. Go behind what you placed over yourself and enter into where God is. And when you enter to and where God is, that veil shall be rent. That veil shall be torn down. You do not have to no longer worry about that veil, because you're walking in the newness and the freedoms that God has given to you. So on tonight, cut the umbilical cord and cut the ties that have bound you. God bless you.
Woo! Man of God, thank you for that powerful word. And I'm just going to take a moment while it's fresh. The word is fresh. If you are listening in on tonight and you are live in the studio and you are know that you may have not been operating in who God has called you to be, perhaps you know that you have been struggling. Perhaps you know that you have been functioning according to who people say you are and not who God has said you are. If that would be you on tonight, I'm going to ask you to take the next step. And that next step will be to dial 1 on your dial pad. And that will let our team know that you want prayer. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. You've heard about God. You know, you heard about church, you went to church, but you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never given your life over. If that would be you, then I want you to dial 1. You don't have to say who you are. This is not about show. This is not about what will people think. This is not about, ooh, I don't want somebody to know that I'm really not saved, because we don't know who you are when you dial 1. But what we want to do is make sure that you don't get off this call on tonight without giving your life to the Lord if you have not done that, because all that the man of God has spoken about on tonight will mean absolutely nothing if you're not saved. All that he's spoken tonight don't even apply to you if you haven't done the first step, and that's giving your life over to the Lord. It's called the sinner's prayer. We all sinners saved by grace. The second thing, if you know the Lord, you are saved. You have confessed with your mouth, you believe in your heart, but you struggle. And your struggle has been with the man of God spoke about tonight. The struggle has been, you don't even know. Most of us, when we're in spiritual warfare, we don't even know we're in spiritual warfare. We don't know that maybe there's some curses that have been spoken up over our life, unbeknownst to us. But we know that we've been struggling. We know that it hasn't been an easy walk. We know that we're going to church and we're getting the word, but we're walking out and we don't see progress. We don't see change. We don't see growth. If that would be you on tonight, I'm going to ask you to dial one on your dial pad. What we want to do is pray with you. We want to be able to give you, we've given you the word of God. We've given you the word of God. The seeds have been planted on tonight. And so we want to be able to give you the seeds, and we want to make sure that we pray over you. We don't want you to leave off this call uncovered. We want to pray with you because we have an anticipation and an expectation that with those seeds that has been planted and through prayer of agreement that your life will never, ever be the same after tonight. Amen. And so we do have some callers that are dialing one, man of God. And so what I'm going to do on tonight, I'm going to have the man of God do a prayer. I'm not going to open up the line for those to speak. That's one. But if you stay on after the show, if you have a personal need for prayer, something specific, then just I'm going to ask you not to release your line when the show is over. We'll bring you into the green room, and we'll pray just for your specific. So if you dial one and you have a specific prayer that you want to do privately, do not hang up after the show. Stay on the line, and we'll bring you in for specific prayer. Otherwise, for all those who have dialed one and for those who didn't dial one but you know you need this prayer, the man of God is going to say a corporate prayer, and then from there we will be releasing everyone. And again, for those who have a specific private prayer, stay on the call. Amen. Man of God.
God bless you. Let us begin to pray. Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, God, first and foremost, God, we want to come to you and ask you for forgiveness for anything that we may have done that has caused you any shame in our life. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, God. We thank you for the people that are under the sound of my voice to have pressed one. Father God, for we don't need to know the specific needs because we know you know all things, God. And right now, God, we ask that you help us to cut every tie, every umbilical cord that has been given unto us over the years, things that we have put on ourselves. God, we ask that the anointing breaks every yoke. Father God, we ask that the Spirit of the living God comes in and flushes out all impurities. Father God, we ask that you give them the release, God. And for those who are fearful, God, we ask that you bind the spirit of fear and that you break the chain of fear, that you release the people of God so that fear no longer hinders them from doing what you have called them to do. Father God, we thank you, we honor you, we give you glory. We ask that you come right now, send your angels, God, on the behalf of your people for the specific situations that they stand in need of. God, we call down healing right now, God, healing of the mind, healing of the spirit, healing of the body. Father God, we call every foul spirit, we call it out in the name of Jesus. God, we touch and agree through the airways, God. We touch and agree through the internet and the computers, God. We touch and agree and we believe that you are in the midst of us and that you will hear the petition and that you will honor the petitions and you'll begin to allow the people of God to do the work to change from who they were to who they are supposed to become. And Father God, we will forever give your name the glory. We will forever give your name the praise. And most importantly, we will give you all of the honor and all of the credit for everything that you have done and that everything that you are going to do. Father God, we ask that you go into our tomorrows and you make everything all right. Whatever is on the people's minds and on the people's heart, let them not worry, because you are a God that can change a situation in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. And we thank you, God, that you're all powerful. We thank you that you're all knowledgeable. And God, we ask for the leaders that are on this line, God, we ask that you give them a fresh anointing, God. We ask that they begin to preach and begin to teach with power. God, we ask that they begin and they begin to teach and preach the unadulterated word of God. God, let not ne'er charismatic preaching come from the mouths of your vessels anymore, God. Let it be the unadulterated word of God so that people can be delivered and set free. Let holiness return to the building, O God. Let holiness return to the temples of your people, O God. And it's in your son Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, we thank you, man of God. Again, we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to tonight's episode of Processing the Pain. We want to thank the man of God for bringing forth a mighty word. We want to just embrace what's been said and what's for you. Receive what's been said for you. I know I'm going to receive the message that was that God had for me. And because we could all be sitting up under the same umbrella, the same message, each one of us have a personalized message out of the message that's for each one of us. This message applies to some of us totally, and some of us, certain parts apply to us. So whatever the part that was for you, receive it and walk in it. Amen. So again, we want to thank you for tuning in. Again, those who dial one and you want more personal prayer, stay on the line and we will bring you in at the closing of the show. Feel free to tune in on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for Woman to Woman. Again, that's on Wednesday nights. And then on Thursday nights, we have Processing the Pain, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. One last thing I want to say, I said it in the beginning of the call, but I want to say it on tonight. We are coming up this weekend. Today is Thursday. This Sunday is Father's Day. And I just want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Fathers, we love you. We honor you. I want to just do a shout out to my fathers. I've been blessed to have two. And actually, I got three. My Heavenly Father first and foremost. But my earthly fathers, I've been blessed to have two. And they are very, both very dynamic and powerful in my life, and have been a blessing in guiding me and navigating me through this thing called life, both spiritually and mentally and emotionally and physically. So I just want them, if they're listening in on tonight, to know that I love them with all my heart. And I just thank God for them, and I thank God for the uniqueness that each one of them bring into my life. Amen. So, again, we thank you. Have a good evening. Know that you are loved and appreciated.